Hey, what's up, family? It's Coach Josh, and welcome to another live Q&A. Hope you guys are doing exceptionally well. Hope you guys are having a great Thursday. I look forward to serving you all, man. I look forward to answering your questions, whether it's through my exegetical ability, whether it's through my experiences or my expertise. I look forward to enriching your life with the questions or the answers to your questions by the help of the Holy Ghost. But let's get right into it. Before I get into your questions, as everyone is typing their questions in, let me go ahead and break down a couple of scriptures in regards to why it's important for you and I to remain students and why we should study to show ourselves approved. So I'm going to go ahead and pull up a couple of scriptures that I want to read real quickly and break down, as well as add some insight while everyone is bringing their questions. The first verse is Proverbs 1:5. It says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtains guidance." Proverbs 9:9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man or woman, and they will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning." My friend, it's very important that you and I remain students. No matter how many years we live, no matter how many times we are in opportunities of growth, we have to remain students. This first verse is very key. It says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning." It shows that a wise person is a person that understands they know nothing. An individual who is extremely intelligent or wise understands that they know nothing, meaning they must continue to increase in learning. My friend, if you want to increase your earnings, increase your learning. The issue is so many people are so focused on burning in passion, burning in desires, burning from heartbreak, that they're not earning. My friend, God wants us to be earners. In order for us to earn in our relationships, to earn in the marketplace, to earn to advance his kingdom, we have to learn. Let the wise hear. First, in order to increase your learning, you have to be a hearer. That means you have to pay attention. That means you have to incline your ear in every facet of life, because you understand that the goal in life is holistic growth, holistic success. So let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. It is through understanding that we have guidance. Where do you want to go? Where do you want your relationships to go? Where do you want your marriage to go? Where do you want your family to go? Like, where do you need guidance? Where do you need understanding? Where do you need wisdom? My friend, when you take time to understand relationships, take time to understand scripture, take time to understand God, take time to understand yourself, my friend, you will then have guidance. Then you will be able to say, I know where to go. I know how to go. I know who should go with me. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Next, Proverbs 9:9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning." This shows two things. Number one, a wise man or woman doesn't mind instruction. Instruction leads to no destruction. The more instruction you have, the more good construction you can do, which eliminates destruction. Most people's lives are destroyed because they lack instruction. But a wise person says, give me as much instruction as you can. Give me as much a principle, a strategy as you can. Because when you give me instruction on how to do construction, I will be wiser. So, and it's also the second fold, don't give instruction to a fool. Because if you waste energy trying to instruct the fool, then you're going to end up looking like a fool. So a wise person who will increase in wisdom is a person that says, hey, instruct me so I can construct me. Instruct me so I can construct my marriage. Instruct me so I can construct my children the right way. Instruct me so I can construct my business the right way. These individuals do not mind getting wiser. It says, teach a righteous man, and he or she will increase in learning. A righteous man or woman doesn't mind being taught. They're teachable. If you're not teachable, you're not reachable, right? And so when you begin to think about that, you have to ask yourself, am I a wise person? Am I open to instruction? Am I a righteous person? Am I willing to be teachable? See, a righteous person is an individual who understands that their value, their worth, who they are, stems from the imputed righteousness of Jesus that determines their worth, being purchased back into the family of God, where they can now come as children again, so they're able to go to the throne of grace boldly. These individuals says, hey, teach me more about righteousness. Teach me more about what it means to be with God. Teach me. So I just want to encourage, and I have five things I'm going to give you real quickly as everyone is typing their questions. I want you to begin to reflect on what type of person are you? Are you teachable? Are you instructable? Or are you easily destroyed? Now, here are five things you and I must stay a student of. Five things we must study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. A workman does not need to be ashamed, able to rightly divide a word of truth. In order for us to be approved by God to be promoted in certain areas, or approved by God for us to be endorsed in certain areas, we have to be a student. We have to study. And here are five things you and I must study. Five things you and I must stay a student of in order for us to be successful. Number one, we must be a student of Scripture. We must study Scripture. It is not just good just to read the Bible. We must study it. And studying is not being able to have infantry or weaponry for debates. No, it's about without no debate, you know exactly what it says, that you know what the Scripture says and you're applying in your life. I wrote some things. I wrote, it's important to stay a student of Scripture because it serves as the foundation of faith for us as believers. It offers us guidance, wisdom, and spiritual nourishment, as well as principles. By continuously studying Scripture, individuals deepen their understanding of God's word, they strengthen their faith, and grow in spiritual maturity. This ongoing study allows them to apply biblical principles to their lives, make informed decisions, and navigate life's challenges with wisdom and discernment. So we see that we must continuously be students of Scripture, that we should carve out time to study. Why? Because when we study the Scriptures and we allow them to study us and study their principles, we'll then make informed decisions, meaning that we'll make decisions from Scripture and principle. We'll be able to navigate life's challenges and we'll be able to grow in wisdom and discernment. So the first thing that you and I must continuously study and stay a student of is Scripture. Number two, togetherness. T, togetherness. First, we said the number one thing, number one thing that we should be a student of and stay studying, S-T-U-D-Y-S, is Scripture. Now, T, togetherness or relationships is another crucial area to remain a student of because it emphasizes the importance of continuously learning about and investing in relationships. By studying and understanding the dynamics of relationships, individuals can cultivate healthy connections, resolve conflicts effectively, and nurture meaningful bonds with others. This ongoing learning process fosters empathy, communication skills, and mutual understanding, enhancing the quality of interpersonal connections and promoting harmony in communities and families. So it is important for you and I to stay students of togetherness. In order to stay together, I got to be a student. In order for you to stay together with your spouse, to keep your family together, to keep your children together, to keep a key and significant relationships together, we have to study. Next, because we got to answer a question. Go ahead and type your questions because right in the next 3 minutes, we're going to be doing a live Q&A, but I wanted to give you some value first. The third thing that you and I must continuously study as students is understanding our faith. Scripture is cool. Scripture is one thing, but we're talking about apologetics. We have to take time to study and understand why we believe what we believe. So many Christians right now are completely clueless of the fundamentals of their faith. They are unable to defend the infallibility of Scripture. They are unable to defend the deity of Christ. They're unable to defend the essence and the presence of a creator. They're unable to defend key fundamental aspects of their faith. And so understanding one's faith in Jesus is essential for believers or us to deepen our relationship with God and live out our faith authentically. By studying the teachings of Jesus, the doctrine of Christianity, and the history of the church, we gain a deeper understanding of our faith and practices. This ongoing study enables us as believers to articulate our beliefs more confidently, defend our faith effectively, and share the message of the gospel with others. My friend, it will be hard for you and I to articulate our beliefs confidently, defend our faith effectively, or share the message of the gospel with others if we are not students. Number one, we must study Scripture. Number two, we must study togetherness. Number three, we must study understanding our faith. Next, we must study D, discovering, developing, and distributing our craft. This refers to the continuous pursuit of excellence and mastery in one's skills, talents, or professional endeavors. By staying a student of our craft, we seek opportunities for growth, innovation, and creativity. We invest time and effort into honing our skills, learning new techniques, and staying updated on industry trends. This ongoing commitment to improvement allows us to reach our full potential, make valuable contributions to their field or our field, and positively impact the world around us. So we must be students studying in the guise of discovering, developing, and distributing our craft. I love this. It's by staying a student of our craft, we seek opportunities for growth, innovation, and creativity. We are supposed to stay in that river, to stay in that vein. Because when we stay students of our purpose, students of our craft, my friend, we can create life rafts for others. We can help people craft their craft and grow. Last but not least, so we can answer some good questions, we lastly must stay a student of ourselves. Why yourself? But I'm going to put ourselves. Why you must stay a student of you. Let's read. Staying a student of ourselves involves engaging in introspection, self-reflection, and personal development. By continuously learning about our strengths, weaknesses, values, and aspirations, we can cultivate self-awareness, resilience, and personal growth. This ongoing journey of self-discovery empowers us to set meaningful goals, overcome obstacles, and live authentically aligned with our values and purpose. So my friend, it's important for us to stay students of ourselves. Have you studied you? Do you know you? To such a degree that you know what's to surround you skill-wise and individual-wise. So the five things you and I must stay students of, five things we must study: S, Scripture; T, togetherness; U, understanding our faith; D, the discovery, development, and distribution of our craft; and Y, yourself. Hope that was great insight for you for the first 14 minutes or so. Let's get some questions for the next 20 minutes. Answer some good questions. Chantel says, hello, coach. Do you believe in the right person at the wrong time? My friend, if you view things from God's vantage point, if you view things from God's sovereignty, there's never a such thing as a right thing at the wrong time. There's no such thing. So if an individual's endeavoring to be in the will of God, if an individual's endeavoring to put God first, if every individual is endeavoring to ensure that God is glorified through their lives, they will always experience the right thing at the right time. The right person at the wrong time is still a bad person for you for that moment. If you meet the right person at the wrong time, you would mismanage them. You would not recognize them. You will destroy the opportunity with y'all too. And so the goal is to make sure that you're doing the right thing right now in the meantime, so that when the right time comes, you meet that right person. So I do not believe that God will allow you to meet the right person at the wrong time. And don't get me wrong, there's a difference between the timing to meet and the time to marry. See, when I met my wife, it was the right time to meet, but it was the wrong time to marry. So even though it was the right time to meet, that person was still the right person for me to meet because we was able to grow and struggle together in the different stages of courtship. So that when it was time for marriage, we was able to cultivate a certain level of resiliency and bond that we were able to last for ages. And so I hope that made sense to you, my friend. Nubian Soul Child, how you doing? Good afternoon. Raw Scout says, hey, coach, what do I do when I hurt someone I care about? I feel guilty and bad because I care so much about them. I don't know what to do besides praying to God for forgiveness and repentance. My friend, that's the best thing to do. That is the starting point on what you should do. What you do is, first off, you have to self-reflect. You have to reflect, because if you don't reflect, then you would just be a person that recognize they did wrong, but won't become the best person for that individual. So if you care about that person, you will consider yourself first. So don't even think about the person. Think about you. First off, you got to make sure that you cast that care over to God so that you don't carry that care of excessively caring about the individual or excessively concerned about how you hurt that one you cared. So when you go to God and you talk to God about what you've done, you make sure that you're talking to God with the right frame of mind. That you have framed your thoughts into understanding that you are still God's beloved, that we all make mistakes, that God's grace is sufficient, that his mercy endures forever, that you're a child of God. Because when you go into your prayer closet with that frame of mind, then you won't, whether you lose that person or gain that person back, you don't lose yourself in the process. And so the goal is not just to keep asking for forgiveness or using repentance as an opportunity to, quote unquote, try to manipulate God into changing their heart so they can be a part of your life again. The goal is just simply going to God to learn where to make adjustments, to learn where to grow, to learn how to develop as an individual that will be attractive enough potentially to bring that person's trust back in, to bring that individual back in to flow with you. So number one, you got to make sure that you forgive yourself. Number two, you got to make sure that you are growing yourself, that you're not, if you do get that person back, you're not the same one that hurt them. Now, you also got to make sure that you think about the difference between hurt and harm. Did you hurt them with the truth or did you harm them with neglect? See, if you hurt somebody and their feelings got hurt because you told them the truth, or you hurt them because you was in your self-care era and your self-love era, then you're not in error. So if you're in your self-care, self-love era and it hurt them, there's no error in that. But if you harm them because of neglect or you harm them because of ignorance, or you harm them because of your immaturity or insecurity, then you got to let God care on them. Let God care on you separately until God sees fit, if it's his will, to bring y'all back together. So you got to get rid of that guilt. You got to get rid of that feeling bad by realizing that you are a human that make mistakes, that God is not done with you, and that this is reality, that if you hurt somebody, learn from it. And if you don't get them back, at least you won't hurt the next person. Hope to help. Speedy Sprat says, hey, Brother Joshua. Hey, my friend. I'm 22 and I make music, content about the word, run track D1 track, and I feel a call to great things for the Lord. Let's see if you got anything else. Congratulations, my brother. Here it is. But I constantly get distracted by Netflix, Instagram, and other things, and this can find and can't find time to work on my craft and feel overwhelmed because I have so many ideas but can't finish them. Also, how can I be diligent in the work that the Lord has for me to do with all my gifts? Let's look at this again. I make music, content about the word. I run track D1, and you feel called to a lot of great things. You also said, but I constantly get distracted by Netflix, Instagram, and other things, and can't find the time to work on my craft and feel overwhelmed because I have so many ideas but can't finish them. How can I be diligent in the work that the Lord has for me to do with all my gifts? Let's start here, my friend. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Wisdom is skill. Wisdom is knowing what to do, how to do it, when to do it, etc., and doing it at such a level that it overcomes any devils, right? There's some level or lack of fear of God in this process, and the fear that comes with a drawing near to judgment day. Let me break this down. The Bible talks about three people that was given talents by a master, and you'll understand this as a person who's probably a wordsmith, and you can understand that a talent back in the Bible days was a form of currency. But you can also do a double entendre with that and use it as talent as currency and talent as giftings. The first one was given five talents. One was given two talents. Another one was given one. The ones that were given five and two, the Bible says they immediately went into the marketplace to exchange. But the one that was given one talent, that individual buried their talent because they viewed God as a hard man, and they was nervous and felt insecure about themselves, because you could tell that about them because they didn't at least take a chance. But when the master came back, he went to complete the accounts with these individuals. And the five says, look, I brought five more. The two said, I brought two more. The one said, because you are a hard man, I chose to bury your talent. The Bible calls that individual slothful and wicked. My friend, when you understand and really take into heart that scripture, you have to call what you're doing for what it really is. If you're burying your talent and you're not maximizing it, but you're allowing it to be entertained and time wasted, then you are a sloth and you are wicked, respectfully. I had to do this to myself. When we call things for what they really are, it leads us to repentance. What sounds worse, an affair or adultery? What sounds worse? Adultery sounds worse. But when you call it affair, it's not like you went to affair with somebody. The enemy weakened the terminologies and the words of sin so it doesn't cause deep conviction in the soul enough, where a person feels humiliated enough, where a person feels inspired enough to change. So when you view yourself as a slothful, wicked individual, why is that slothful and wicked? This is, I'm here from my heart. This ain't me calling you that. It's just saying what the word says. A slothful person, make sure my internet's good. A slothful person is a person that says, you know what? I may not be lazy in this, but I'm lazy with this. A wicked person is what the word of God is saying. You're wicked to bury my talent, because you are so full of yourself that you're not willing to take it to go impact others. So when you really swallow that pill for what it really is, you'll begin to say, yo, God, I am a slothful, wicked man. I repent. Until we see our sins as is, we won't go to him. So why? What is the root reason? Is it insecurity? Is it fear of failure? Is it fear of success? Is it just a habit? So when you look at it from that vantage point, then you will begin to say, okay, I'm not going to stand before my maker empty handed. Okay. He says, but I constantly get distracted by Netflix, Instagram, other things and can't find time to work on. You can't find time because of poor time management. Time management is life management. I tell my students all the time, you don't spell time T-I-M-E. You spell time L-I-F-E. How you spend your time is how you spend your life. And so if you're spending your life and time on things that's not making you money, that's not enhancing the kingdom of God, then my friend, you got to look deeper inside of your soul to find, because when it's time to work on your craft, you feel overwhelmed because of the reality of the negligence or neglect of it, right? And also a lack of relationship with God. Now, my friend, I'm speaking from experience. Because the more you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, he'll then lead and guide you into all truth. He'll show you what idea to work on. And with an individual like myself who has so many ideas, I used to go to these different things because to distract me from this, because it just was overwhelmed, because maybe there was, I had low self-belief problems, I had self-doubt, imposter syndrome. So let me help you with this. How can I be diligent in the work that the Lord has for me to do with all my gifts? First off, study diligence. Number two, begin to think about your day of judgment. And what do you want to give God back? See, if God's your best friend and you know you're going to meet him in the end, then you would do whatever you're going to do right now to make sure he's glorified, to make sure that when you see him face to face, you have so much to give him. You have so many people impacted, so many people's lives changed. And number three, you got to find the root reason why you're not doing it. Is it some kind of fear, etc.? But I'm going to work on a video on that because I've gotten a couple of emails about that, and I definitely want to make sure I add more value. But for time's sake, I want to answer a couple more questions. Three Angel Messenger says, whatever your hands find to do, do with all your might. Amen. Whatever your hands find, do with all your might. Nubian says, I'm beginning to struggle with my self-esteem because of my age. Some men believe that I lose value as I get older and may not find a husband. I desire marriage, but it feels disheartening as I age. My friend, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Don't focus on your age. Focus on your stage. What stage are you supposed to present from? Your stage of purpose. Because when you find your purpose, you find your person. And you have to begin to separate or become detached from the world's view. Because when the world's view becomes your worldview, then my friend, you won't be able to view it above the world. So don't worry about what men believe. What does God believe? And age is nothing but a number to God. The Bible says 1,000 years is as a day. Think about John the Baptist's mom. I want you to read that story about John the Baptist's mom and how the Bible says that she was, she was blameless but barren. That's a message. She was blameless, meaning she did everything right. She served the Lord. She was in and out of the temple. She was faithful to God, but she was barren. The issue is, can you handle being blameless and barren? Can you handle being faithful to God? And while people are laughing at you because you're barren in this area, they're looking at you from their poor view saying, poor you. Don't listen to people that have a poor view that says poor you, right? You should be looking for people that will pour into you, letting you know, hey, stay blameless, stay following God, stay doing the right things because he has you barren for a reason. Because how big the baby was, because how big John the Baptist was, because how big the purpose of John the Baptist, she had to be barren to a specific time. And so if you're faithful to God and you're committed to him and you're doing things right, he will be committed and faithful to you. Because my friend, if you focus too much on the people in the room and not focusing on the God who's preparing your table in the presence of your enemies, then you're going to find yourself an enemy of you. Let God keep making your table. Focus on your stage of purpose. Focus on this stage of life and growth. Then my friend, you will begin to see sooner than later, you will meet that person. Well, I had to preach on that one. Three Angel says, God wants us to develop our craft because that's it. It must be glorified, because when God is glorified, demons are horrified, and the word of God is internalized in the hearts of new believers that will then come to him. Got time for two more? Oh, we got a lot more. Well, not that many. Jody says, should a man spoil his wife? Many women become too spoiled and entitled when being spoiled by a man. How much should we actually do for our woman? A lot. A lot. We're not talking about a woman that can be spoiled. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with spoiling something fresh. It's nothing wrong with spoiling someone that helps you become your best. But if you're spoiling someone that's spoiled, they're only going to spoil. So it depends on what type of woman you have. A good woman would be appreciative. I don't mind spoiling my wife. I don't mind ensuring that she don't have to work. I don't mind doing what I got to do to make sure that she's loved and seen and understood because she's a good woman. Now, if you got the wrong woman, then you're not going to be able to. So you have to begin to understand that you cannot base your understanding of women based upon the women you have experienced, especially if you haven't experienced all women. Because the woman that God has for you will be a helpmate. And when she helps you, you can't help but try to spoil her because she's been nothing but a good help to you. So do a lot for the woman that God has for you, because she does a lot to make sure that you're known in the gates, that the home is solid, that the family business is thriving, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Three-headed angel says, God has given me the gift of seeing and I felt impressed, take lessons to find. That's it. Fine tune. Stay a student of your craft. Stay studying it. Amen, cousin. All right, rapid fire real quick. What's up, Coach Josh? Great topic choice. Their skills, sales, communication, and more. I am learning to improve on. Good. I am having trouble choosing one to master before moving to the next one. How do I set up? So you're talking about skills between sales and communication. Well, you got to study communication first, because without good communication, there's no good sales. When I'm selling my programs, I'm not even selling. In a way that a lot of people sell. I believe in my product. I believe in the process. I believe in the formula. I believe in the person I'm talking to. And because the communication is solid, it's easy to make the sale. Because your communication is not just about talking. It's about listening. And if you listen to the people that you're supposed to serve and you listen to their problems, it's easier to sell them on your good product that you know for a fact will impact their lives. So focus on improving on all the aspects of communication, listening, wording, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm gonna look on that. I'm gonna look at that topic. I'm gonna go ahead and screenshot this. Well, I'll see it video replay, but I want to do a video on sales and communication, all that good stuff. You're so welcome, my sister. What's going on, Unique? Also, Unique, did you get my response in the group? I responded to that personality test. I look forward to helping you. Kiara, what's going on, family? Hello, how are you? Doing great, my sister. I've fallen behind on the things of the Lord in physics and physically. How do I come out of this pit? First off, you must know that God's legit. Number two, you must not quit. And number three, you got to get out quick. You first must understand that God is legit, that he legitimately loves you beyond your falls. No matter what you do, he legitimately loves you. That's what's good about the imputed righteousness of God, right? And if you fall behind, he quickly gets you up to date in time. He gets you quick up to date if you're willing to flow with him. You must know that he's legit. Number two, you must not quit. You must get back to it. You must go after and try and aim to get. Go after and get those things that you want to have in life that will motivate you. And you got to get out quick. Get out quick means you write down what you did wrong. Right, extract and extrapolate the lessons from that wrong, and then know what to do right and go in that right direction. And so we're gonna get on the phone, Sue Kiara. Please forgive my friend. We're gonna get on that call pretty soon. It's been a full week so far, but we're gonna get to it so we can help you with some of that. LV, the magic results you are looking for is the work you are. That's right. The results you are looking for is in the work, because the work, when you do it, works on you, so that it can become workable for you. Unique says, I struggle sometimes with consistency, trying to stay diligent in my studying work. That's where discipline comes in. Baby steps. And consistency looks different. Consistency could be twice a week. Consistency could be like, I'm going to start off once a week or once a day. Then I go consistently. Then as you grow, turn into 2 weeks. As you grow, turn into 3 times a week. You see, consistency looks different. But you have to determine a why. Why must you study his word? Why? Because when you study his word, you give the word an opportunity to study you. And then you actually grow for your husband. You start growing for your children. You start growing for your people, etc., etc. LV says, got it. I'll structure a game plan to focus on that first. Good, good. Truth speaks for itself. No gimmicks needed. That's right. Amen, Nubian. Speedy Spread. Thank you, my brother, Josh. I've been watching you almost every day for 5 years, man. God gets the glory, my brother. It's an honor to serve you. Chris Parker says, Coach, you're on fire tonight, brother. Keep dropping wisdom. Amen. He gets the glory for it, and I will keep going, my brother. Thank you so much for that, family. Wow, Royal says, Speedy Sprague says, man, that's a tough word. You know I love you. I had to go through it myself. You see what I'm saying? Man, that's a tough word. I needed that and I receive it. Definitely fear of success. There we go. Imposter syndrome. That's what I struggled with. I didn't fear failure, my friend, because I didn't view myself as a failure, but I feared the responsibilities of success. But then I realized, yo, I want to be successful. Too bad to be too fearful of success. Imposter syndrome, for those who are watching, means you're afraid of being found out. You're being afraid that people will see that you're a gimmick or a lie. Nah, man. You're not an imposter. God blesses you to do things outside of other people's qualifications. And you got to assess those habits, those little bits of happenings. What are those little habits? Because you are the product or the sum total of your habits. Gotta go, y'all. I love y'all. Y'all be blessed. Check out all of my resources on my website, mycoachjosh.com. Coaching program is my friend. If you like, coach, I want to get to a place of higher fulfillment, coach. I am successful. I have great habits professionally, but I'm not good in my marriage, coach. I'm not good with my children, coach. I'm not good in my walk with God. I'm not good when it comes to myself, or I just need help in every area. I want to fulfill at a high level where I can be a husband, an entrepreneur, and a father without dipping, without slipping. If that's you and that resonates with you, man, and you need some mentoring and you want to fulfill at a high level to overcome any devil, that you'll be able to be leveled out in every area, where every area is getting what it needs without dip, and your business grow. I tell people, the success of your business depends on the success of your relationships. If you bad at any relationship, you will be exposed. If you're not good to your wife, no matter how good you are in business, your legacy will be tainted. If you're not good with your children, your legacy will be tainted. If you're not faithful to God, your legacy will be tainted. And your success will be pending, depending on how you treat the ones that God gave you stewardship over. So check out my Fulfillment Elite Coaching Program. I'm looking to mentor 15 entrepreneurs, executives, people who are ready to fulfill at a high level. And also, if you need help in your singleness or your relationship, check out my communities, LifeWork Community. If you're ready to work on your singleness, to get to a place of contentment, to get to a level of mastery, of craft and success, as well as with your relationship, to make sure that you guys grow as a unit, then check out my LifeWork Communities on my website, mycoachjosh.com. Links in the description box below. I'll go ahead and type it, the links right now for those who are live, those who really want to grow in those different areas. Also, coach is open for speaking engagement. My wife said, baby, go travel. I'm open. For 3 years, I have been closed off to serving you all in your city, in your state, to your body, to your community. And so if you've been blessed by this and you feel the Holy Spirit saying, yo, this is your man for your event or whatever, then I'm open for business. I'm open for coaching and all that good stuff. So if you need support in any regard, my wife has gave me the clearance. Baby girl is good. Wife is good. And she's ready to get that house. she ready for the abundance that's out there for us. And so we're going to go out there and go get it. But we're going to be legitimate enough to make sure that you get more than what you pay for. And that's how God wants it done. Love you all. Check out all the books, 10 books. The 11th book is coming out in this 11th hour. It's coming out in about 2 weeks or so. I'm excited about it. You'll learn more about that. Got a fresh new card game, fresh new workbook for it. So I'm excited about that. Gotta go. Baby needs some wipes. I'll see y'all soon. Check y'all out later. Love y'all so much. Please know that. And I'll catch you next time. Peace.